Hey, early risers, thank you for getting up early to worship with us. So glad you're here this morning. Want to welcome those of you that are online as well. Hey, if you don't know who I am, I'm one of the pastors here. My name is Brian Anderson. And where I'm going to be teaching out of the Bible, we're really just going to look at one verse this morning. So if you have a Bible, you have an app, open it up to John chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 44, John 8, 44 in just a moment. You know, I've been doing a series called Keys to Successful Living. And this morning, I want us to look at the biblical value of honesty. The biblical value of honesty. Because the truth is, if you're going to live a successful life, you know, especially in the eyes of God, you must become an honest person. That's a non-negotiable. We must become honest people if we really want to live successful lives, especially, like I said, in God's eyes. And thankfully, you know, the Bible actually has a lot of advice, a lot of stuff in it about honesty. It even gives us some of the examples of both men and women who were honest and men and women who were not honest in the Bible. It even tells us some things that happened to those who were not honest. Probably the most radical example of this couple who are not honest is in Acts chapter 5. It's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Many of you know that story, but if you don't, it's a story of this couple in the church named Ananias and Sapphira who sold a piece of property and then lied about the amount that they were paid for that piece of property. And because they lied, God instantaneously struck them down dead. Now, are you glad that God doesn't normally deal with our dishonesty that way? This would be a completely empty room if he did that, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, the irony of honesty is that all of us, we want other people to always be honest with us. But the truth is, we don't practice honesty ourselves all that much. You know, when parents are asked to describe what the number one quality they look for in their children or the number one quality they want in their children, if you're a parent, just think about this. What's the number one quality that you want your children to have? The number one answer that comes back all the time is honesty. We want our kids to be honest. And yet, in a recent survey said that 91% of all Americans lie on a regular basis. Now, I don't know if you can trust a survey like that when 91% of people are lying as it is, but I think you get the point. You know, one of the reasons why it's so easy for people to lie these days is because there are so many opportunities for us to do it every single day. I mean, every conversation, every text, every social media post, every interaction, we have an opportunity to be dishonest. In fact, sociologists tell us that we hear or see over 200 lies every single day. We see or hear over 200 lies. Now, just for fun, I want to read to you this morning 10 great American lies that you and I either say or hear all the time. All the time. 10 great American lies. The first one, the check is in where? The mail. We've all heard that a million times, right? And it never is. It's never in the mail. Here's another one. Leave your number and the doctor will call you right back. Yeah, like that's going to happen, right? Here's a lie when you lie to yourself. I can quit anytime I want to. We lie to ourselves. Here's a guy lie. I'm much more interested in brains than looks. You guys lie like crazy. I know you. Here's when someone calls us and we don't want to answer our cell phone, and then we see the person a little bit later. Oh, my phone must have been on silent. Here's when someone shows you a bunch of pictures of their baby. Such a cute baby. Looks like Frankenstein. Such a cute baby. Here's when you haven't seen someone for a really long time. You don't really like them. It's so good to see you. Here's a department store line. One size fits what? All. Have you seen all? One size does not fit all. Here's a restaurant line. Your table will be ready in just a few minutes. Yeah, it will. And one more all-around lie, in God we trust. It's on our money, but it's a lie. In God we trust. 10 great American lies. Well, why are people so dishonest? Let me give you three reasons. First of all, because dishonesty is promoted in our culture. Our culture practices dishonesty all the time. I mean, think about it. We've almost come to expect dishonesty in people. We expect people to be dishonest with us. I mean, isn't that sad? We expect a degree of dishonesty among our politicians, don't we? We expect a degree of dishonesty in advertising. We expect a degree of dishonesty in business. Did you know that 7 out of 10 business people surveyed said this? I regularly compromise my values. In other words, I regularly lie to conform to company standards. We expect it. We expect a degree of dishonesty or untruthfulness from students. A survey of 15,000 juniors and seniors in 31 different universities across the nation, they were interviewed about cheating. And here's what they found. 63% of humanity majors admitted to cheating. 68% of science majors admitted to cheating. 74% of engineering majors admitted to cheating. And 87% of business majors admitted to cheating. I mean, from the White House to the schoolhouse, truth is in trouble. And it affects all of us. Dishonesty is promoted in our culture. Second reason people are so dishonest these days is because dishonesty is in our nature. It's in our nature. Leonard Keeler, who's the guy who invented the lie detector test, he interviewed over 25,000 people, and he came to the conclusion that people are basically dishonest. He said this, at the core of humanity, there's dishonesty. At our core, he said, there's dishonesty. Now, if you're a reader of the Bible, that wouldn't surprise you, would it? Because the Bible says that all human beings are part of a fallen race. And because of that, we easily fall into dishonesty. In fact, God said in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Well, dishonesty is not only in our culture and not only in our nature, but the third reason we're so dishonest is because dishonesty is part of our spiritual struggle. And what I mean by that is that there's a constant tug of war going on inside of every one of us. It's good versus evil. It's light versus darkness. It's God versus Satan. It basically comes down to truth versus falsehood. See, the Bible tells us that God is the father of truth. And the Bible also tells us that Satan is the father of lies. Look at the way that Jesus said it to the Pharisees. I had you turn earlier to John 8. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. For whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar, and he's the father of lies. See, the Bible basically says that God is on one side, Satan is on the other side, and they're opposed to one another. And so you and I have a choice. Do we follow the culture, or do we follow the Creator? Dishonesty is part of this spiritual struggle that's going on inside of us all the time. Now, you might be wondering how God feels about dishonesty. And I want you to know right up front, the Bible is very, very clear that when God looks at dishonesty, he hates it. He absolutely hates it. Let me give you just a couple of examples in the scripture. There's many, many more. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. Look at these verses in Proverbs 6. By the way, these are great verses to memorize because these are the six things that the Lord hates, actually the seven things that the Lord hates. And you want to know what the Lord hates, because if you're a follower of Jesus, you want to stay away from those things. So the writer of Proverbs says this: there are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. Very second thing: haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that spread innocent blood, a heart that devises evil plans, feet that run rapidly toward evil, a false witness who utters lies — there's a second one about lying — and someone who spreads strife against other people, against their brother. Two out of the seven things that God absolutely hates have to do with lying. God does not want us to be liars. He wants us to be honest people. And why does God hate dishonesty so much? Because God is truth. Not only does he tell truth, he is truth. And so whenever we're dishonest, it's a perversion of who God is. So since God places such a high premium on truthfulness, a high value on truthfulness, he wants you and I to love honesty. He wants that. So the question is, how do we become more honest people? Let me give you four steps toward becoming an honest person. The first thing, if you want to become an honest person, you have to take an honest inventory of your own truthfulness. Now, this is going to be tough for some of you, because for some of you, deception has been such a big part of your life for so long. Some of you are not even going to realize how deceitful you are until you really do an honest inventory about your own truthfulness or lack thereof. Now, to help us do that, we need to ask ourselves a few questions. One question we need to ask is, where am I being dishonest? For example, you might be honest at home and dishonest at work. You might be honest in your marriage, but dishonest with your boss. You might be dishonest with your clients, but you might be honest with your coworkers. Or maybe you might find out that you're dishonest with yourself a lot of times. You say, well, Brian, how's that? Well, the way that we're dishonest with ourselves is we say things like this on a regular basis: I don't have a problem with that. I can quit that behavior any time I want to. We're lying to ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. So we need to first of all ask, where am I being dishonest? What realms of life am I being dishonest? Second question to ask yourself is, how am I being dishonest? Let me give you a few examples of how we're dishonest. One is gossip or slander. See, those are forms of dishonesty, and they're kind of like cousins. Now, gossip is telling another person about someone else when that other person that we're telling isn't part of the solution or part of the problem. But we do it all the time. Did you hear what so-and-so did? It's juicy. They did this. They're not part of the solution. They're not part of the problem. We just want to tell them. But as Christians, what do? We couch it in prayer terms. Did you hear what so-and-so did? We need to pray for them. Or if you're from the South, then at the end you add on, bless their heart. Those of you that are from the South, you know what I'm talking about. Did you hear what Sally did the other day? We need to pray for her. Bless her heart. Gossip or slander. Now, slander is a little different. Slander in the Hebrew actually means to expose and to defeat. See, when you slander another person, you're trying to expose them, oftentimes in a very dishonest way. Second way we might be dishonest, exaggeration. You know, where we make ourselves look a little bit better than we actually are. Third way we can be dishonest is silence. You know, I can actually lie when I'm completely silent. You know, whereas exaggeration is a sin of commission, silence is a sin, at times, of omission. When I keep the truth from someone, that's a form of dishonesty. Fourth way we can be dishonest, deceit. This is where we disguise the truth. And many of us are experts at doing this. We're experts at shading the truth. You know, telling what we call little white lies that we think aren't going to hurt the other person. Well, the reason I was late is because I was stuck in traffic, when you weren't stuck in traffic at all. The reason I didn't pick up my phone is because I had it turned off or I had it on vibrate or whatever. I didn't see your text. Yeah, you didn't. All right, another way we're dishonest, flattery. See, flattery is saying something to someone else out of impure motives, because I want that other person to return something to me, so I flatter them. You are like the best friend that I have ever had. You are so fun to be around. I love spending time with you. You're so funny. You're so much fun and all that. A week later, hey, can I borrow $500? You know, impure motives. Third question to ask ourselves besides where am I being dishonest and how am I being dishonest is why am I being dishonest? Because if we want to become truthful people, we have to get at the root of why we're being dishonest. One of the major reasons why we're dishonest is because the root is fear. We're afraid that if we tell the truth in this particular circumstance, there's going to be negative ramifications in my life. People do that all the time, don't we? You know, the Apostle Peter denied knowing Jesus 3 different times. Why? Because he was afraid. He was afraid that if he said that he knew him, there would be negative consequences. Another root of dishonesty besides fear is jealousy. Sometimes we lie to another person because we're jealous. You know, Joseph's brothers in the Bible sold Joseph into slavery and lied about it because they were jealous of him. A third root of dishonesty is self-interest. Self-interest. We lie because of some sort of self-interest we had. For example, in the Bible, Jacob lied to his dad, Isaac, because of self-interest. Jacob wanted his dad's blessing, and he knew that his dad was going to give it to his older brother, Esau, and so he lied. Self-interest. So we need to look at why we're being dishonest if we want to become honest people. Why am I dishonest with my boss? Why am I sometimes dishonest to my spouse? Why am I dishonest with my clients? Whatever it is. So take an honest inventory of your truthfulness and ask yourself where, how, and why. am I being dishonest? Second step to becoming an honest person, make an honest evaluation of the gains and the losses of being dishonest. Because the truth is, there are some gains when we lie. There are. There are some gains when we're dishonest with other people. For example, I can be dishonest to the government about my taxes, and I can gain money. I can lie about something at work, and I might be able to gain more influence, or I might be able to gain a better reputation. There are gains to lying. That's why we do it. But when you look at those gains, you have to decide if those gains are more appealing than the truth. Because the Bible is very clear that any gains you have because of dishonesty will only be temporary. They'll only be temporary. So, what do we lose? There are some gains, but when we lie, what do we lose? Well, one thing we lose is character. We lose character when we're dishonest. Now, let me explain this. There's a difference. A lot of people don't understand this. There's a difference between your reputation and your character. Your reputation is what other people think about you. That may or may not be true. Your character is what you're really like on the inside. Your character is how you behave when nobody's going to find out. And you know nobody's going to find out. That's your character. Or like D.L. Moody said it, character is who I am in the dark. And by the way, character is the one thing that we're going to take into eternity with us. We're going to take our character into eternity with us. So it's super important. And character also is super important because it can be passed down to our children. If I'm a person of character, I'll be able to influence my children in a positive way. Look at the Bible says in Proverbs 20, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, meaning a person of character, how blessed are his sons after him. When we're dishonest, we lose character. Second thing we lose when we're dishonest, we lose spiritual maturity. Look at Paul says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who's the head, even Christ. See, when I'm being dishonest, that means that I'm not facing the sins and I'm not facing the issues that are keeping me from growing spiritually. Again, when we're being dishonest with ourselves, we say things like, I don't have a problem with my temper. I don't have a problem with pornography. I don't have a problem with lust. I don't have a problem with this dishonesty or profanity or unforgiveness or whatever. But when I'm honest, I deal with the sin or the issues that are keeping me from growing spiritually. And that propels me toward spiritual maturity. Third thing we lose when we're dishonest, we lose security. And what I mean by that is that when you're not honest, you have to look over your shoulder all the time. You have to try to remember all the lies that you've told and to who you've told them to so that they won't be, you know, they won't find you out. When you don't lie, you never have to look over your shoulder. It's so freeing to know that you're not trying to cover anything up, that you just told the truth and let the chips fall where they may. It's an incredible amount of security in that. Like the Bible says, he who walks in integrity walks securely, securely. But he who perverts his ways will be found out. So how do I become a more honest person, take an honest inventory of my truthfulness, make an honest evaluation of the gains and the losses. Third thing, I need to love God and pursue a deep relationship with Him. You say, well, Brian, what does that have to do with being honest? Well, see, the more intimate that I am with God, the more compelled I'm going to be honest. See, if God is invading my life on a regular basis, it's very difficult to be dishonest. But when I don't have an intimate relationship with God, it's easy to lie to other people. It's easy. Psalm 51:6, the psalmist prays, "Behold, God, you desire truth in the innermost being." See, when I live in the presence of God, I'm compelled to be honest. And then a third step toward becoming an honest person, I need to practice this. I need to practice honesty in all the different areas of my life. So at the end of the day, when you lay your head on your pillow, you can evaluate all the things that you did that day, and you can ask yourself, how honest was I today? How honest was I at work? How honest was I with my family, with my friends, all of that? And the areas that you fell short of, you can ask God to forgive you. Ask Him to help you to be more honest the next day. Practice honesty. It's worth it. Now, I want to end the message this morning on a positive note and tell you that God rewards honesty. He does. You say, how does God reward honesty? In lots of ways. Let me give you three ways. First of all, God rewards honesty by protecting me. Proverbs 2, verse 7, God grants a treasure of good sense to the godly. Look at this. He is their shield, protecting those who walk with integrity. If we're honest, God will protect us. He will be our shield. That's one of the rewards. Second way that God rewards honesty is He not only protects me, He directs me as well. Proverbs 11:5, the godly are directed by their honesty. The wicked fall beneath their load of sin. See, when we're honest, we can see God's path much more clearly. And that is such a reward. It really is. And then the third way God rewards our honesty is He sustains us. He sustains us when we're honest. Proverbs 12:19, truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Honesty always outlasts dishonesty. God is in the business of rewarding us when we're honest. You know, some of you might remember the true story of happened in Chicago quite a few years ago now, where this newlywed couple just had gotten married, and you know, when people bring all their wedding gifts to the wedding and all that, and they were going to go on a honeymoon right afterwards, and so they were packing up after the wedding, they were packing up all the wedding gifts into their vehicle and all that, and one of the things that they'd asked for in their wedding was money. They wanted money for that instead of gifts, and so they ended up getting about $12,000 in money, and they had it in a big envelope and all that, and they're packing up their car, getting ready to leave, and absentmindedly, they put the envelope with the money on top of their car and forgot about it, and they drove off. Somebody ended up finding this $12,000 in this envelope, and this person actually was an unemployed person that found this money. And you would think, you know, finding $12,000, that this person would keep it. Most people probably would. This guy didn't. He was an honest man. And he went to great lengths to find out who this couple was and to track them down and return all $12,000 to them. Now, when the city of Chicago found out about this, they went nuts over this particular guy. I mean, again, nobody could believe that this unemployed guy didn't keep the money. And so this guy ended up getting job offers from every major corporation in the Chicago area. Sony, Motorola, Hilton, Hyundai, and very soon this guy was not unemployed anymore. He was rewarded for his honesty. You know, that's just a physical example of what God does in a spiritual way when we're honest people. He rewards honesty. You want to be successful in life? You have to become an honest person. This morning, we're going to end our worship, our service, by having a song of worship. And during this song, first of all, what I'd like you to do is do a little self-evaluation about how honest you are as a person. Just go before God, and if there are areas that maybe the Holy Spirit points out to you during this song that you haven't been honest in, maybe at work, maybe with a client, maybe with your boss, maybe with your spouse, maybe with your kids, whatever the Holy Spirit points out, He's doing that because He loves you. He wants to bring that out into the light so that you would confess it to God and that you could leave here in a moment forgiven as you ask Him to forgive you. And then, as the song goes along, if you're part of our church, we've sung this song many, many times, My Heart is Yours. That's really what I want you to do during this song, after you do business with God, is just tell God that you want your heart to be fully His. Because remember, when you have a deep relationship with God, when God is invading your life, it's very, very difficult to be a dishonest person. So we're going to sing, and I'll come back and close the service. If everybody would please stand.
Take a mile.